talk about this thing that's in my brain. It keeps me from wanting to come on, but I want sure. some gain. Maybe a little fame.
Well, I guess I'll get right into it, huh? Everybody, welcome back to the We the Patriots podcast. I am your host, Sal Asante, and today I'm going to be rocking solo for some reasons I might get into a little bit later. For now, wanted to do a show regardless of having a guest, not having a guest, because the world has gotten, well, let's just be honest, it's been crazy, right? But the world's gone a really weird way in the past few months, even the last like year or so. And I just wanted to catch up on what I've noticed over the past like couple months since I've been releasing a show, just because it feels like it's getting away from us. I know I was talking with Danny a little while ago, and we were talking about his sports, and he was getting overrun with work for school, and he's like, everything seems to be passing him by, and I feel the same. I feel exactly in that position now, so I want to do a show before it gets way out of my hand. Without further ado, I'm going to jump into the first topic, which is the topic that I think everybody's starting to really, I guess it's getting into the news now, is the presidential race of the upcoming 2024 election. Here, I'm going to be taking a little chance putting this show out because allegedly they're holding back the reins on putting some restrictions in place for speech on YouTube. So we're going to take a little gamble and veer into this topic, and I don't have anything controversial to say per se, but maybe I do, depending on how you look at it. First one off is the absolute decay of the two main front-running positions, and that is Biden and Trump, which is, it's pretty bizarre that they're running against each other again just in the first place. I think it's, you know, some people think it's funny, some people urge it on for reasons they think they might win the battle. All beside the point, I think it's not great for our country that these two people are the two people that we are actually, this is the one that we're going for. I can't believe that these two people are the two people that we're going to be voting for more than likely when it comes this time next year. So from the news that's been coming out lately, I'm sure most of you have seen, but let's just recap here. Hunter got indicted on some pretty weak charges. He got some gun charge that if you go and look into it, basically he just mishandled the gun. His family self-reported him, and because of that, he had to go through charges with that. And some minor tax stuff that wasn't going at the big questions like what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on in China. There's been more and more information coming out where people are, I guess you could call them whistleblowers, where they're claiming that they had no chance to prosecute Hunter or not underneath the law that would be normally applicable to most citizens. That's where we're at. When you know that you have a shielded class, you have a shielded type of people that are automatically not going to get hit by the rule of law just the way that any of us normal people would, that's where you see the issue, I believe. And so it leads further into, I think, the next point that I want to bring up, that cocaine was found in the White House very recently. This was right after July 4th, I believe. So what they decided to do with this was do a horse's ass investigation, if you ask me. This is the most surveyed building, I believe, or at least one of in the whole country, maybe minus the Pentagon or maybe some of our top secret buildings or Area 51, if you want to talk about that. That's it. You have this building is fully surveyed by cameras, by security teams all the time. And for you to tell us that, for them to tell us, the people, that they don't have a lead, find that hard to believe. And I'm sure that a lot of you all also find that very hard to believe. This shielded class of not being able to go after them for the right stuff or not being able to fully prosecute because of who they are, their connections they might have, the people getting in the way. You add up all these things and it's hard not to look at Trump's case where he mishandled documents and all you can think is that they brought charges up if you're thinking about it from side to side. Now, my point bringing up the next one, which is that Trump's mishandling of documents, I don't think that's any better. I think what he did was pretty vile when you talk about the oath of the office that he took and what he's supposed to stand for as the president. Some of the stuff that he did is just purely moronic. It seems like he almost wanted to get caught in certain instances, just going completely against his lawyer's guidance. Embarrassing, in my opinion, embarrassing. And I think it goes to show more so the character and the tenor of this president or former president and what you could expect if he were to be voted in for another 4 years. I don't think you're looking at a very positive outlook. So with all that in mind, and this is something that I actually want to do more with our show rather than less, I think that we as a group, or more so me in particular, have been shining a light on a lot of problems but offering very little solutions. And maybe it's because we don't have them, but the whole point of this conversation is to bring up solutions that are going to be good for the country and good for everybody around us and what to possibly look for in candidates. So with Trump being shot as he is, I personally don't think he's the best representative of Republican values. Neither do I, DeSantis, but that's for another day. And Biden on the other side, who is there to replace? Who is the leader that we have? And this is where I call out, and I don't know. I don't have a great answer, but my one answer to you, if you are really trying to pick a side in this race, is don't pick a side yet. And I encourage you to at least entertain yourself, especially if you're on the right side of things, entertain yourself with the likes of RFK Jr. Entertain yourself with a left-wing mind that's not so mainstream. The whole mainstream left has gone in such a weird direction that you want to call them left or progressive left, but it's not. It's deteriorating. And now we don't know who we're talking to when it's on the left side. That's a big problem. That's one of the things that I think is really taken away from the conversation to be had. And when you want to look at a positive thinking or an American thinking, a pro-America left-wing person, I want you to just go listen to RFK Jr. Give it a shot. At this point, I support a lot of his ideas. I like the way that he talks about the country. Not to say that he's earned my vote yet, but hey, I think you got to consider all options. And especially as someone who is tending to the right side, or at least I want to think conservatively. I don't want to wreck the system if it's not deserving to be wrecked. It's someone to think about. And he puts a lot of ideas in an American frame that you know he's talking about it from the bottom of his heart as an American. He's not saying this stuff to rip other Americans down, which it seems like no matter what side we voted for the past, my whole lifetime, I'll just be honest. I'm so young, but my whole lifetime, I've only noticed that the president seemed like they didn't care about us, the real people of the United States. So that's just my thoughts on that. And we'll move on to the next topic right here. All right, so our next one. So onto some other news. So this was my sports for the week. This is all I got. Domingo Herman of the Yankees threw first perfect game since 2012. So good on him. Great. He sucked the rest of the year. This whole year has been an absolute disaster for the Yankees and him, honestly, as a whole, except for that game. And it's being shined upon by the fact that Judge is out. The injury has hindered him useless, the lineup useless, and yeah, it's been a very for the AL East in baseball, the only sport that I'm really watching right now. For anybody out there who is watching that, it sucks if you're a Yankees fan and if you're a Boston fan. It's like, what are we watching here? You have a five-team race. All five teams are ahead of 500, and just some bad baseball being played by the Yankees and somehow staying afloat of 500. It'll be interesting to see how they make it. I don't know. All I know is Domingo Herman, perfect game for the guy to come back into the big leagues the way that he has, I guess, is good on him. I wish him the best, but he's definitely done some things that he'll have to answer to not us, but, a higher power to as to whether he did them, did not, what he did, and, the victims at his hands that seem to have happened. And it's sad that I think it's sad that we can't come together, I think, as a Yankees fan base and a Yankees group and just come together and get rid of these guys. Like, it took so long to get rid of a Chapman. It took so long to get rid of the sourness that was Clint Frazier. Getting rid of the bad characters in and around what's supposed to be a growing organization is exactly what you're supposed to do as management, and it is what's, I think, is permeating to a lot of different parts of life, not just baseball. So let's go on to our next one here. We're going into the... I almost didn't want to talk about this one because it was interesting. I think the last time when I had Gia on, I think when we recorded the show, I'm not sure if they even knew if the people in this Titanic sub actually were dead yet. But so just the fact that this story comes up. So I was listening to some stuff about it. It turns out that they got a lot of recommendations from all of the organizations, the 3-letter, 4-letter, 5-letters, NASA's and all these, to get recommendations on their sub. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. It's beside the point now, but what I found pretty egregious about the whole thing, and you look back on it now with a little bit of a calmer head than in the situation, but my whole feeling was on Sunday when we heard that they lost communication with the sub, immediately I thought they were dead. I didn't think that there was any chance they were coming back. They made all these rescue efforts. I didn't think that there was a chance, to be honest. And I thought they might already be dead, but obviously you have no way to confirm until you get the information. But they held that information till Thursday, and we found out very quickly that the Coast Guard, I believe it was the Coast Guard or the Navy, but I'll put it up here. Coast Guard and the Navy knew well before Thursday, I think it was, that they announced Thursday or Friday. Well before that time, they knew that they had more than likely died. They had heard something that sounded like an implosion of a submarine, and there is no reason for them to withhold that information. I mean, that's just going beyond... what you would think of as a normal person, and how you would think they would approach such a strong topic that's become gripping in the public light. But I will say, this is where your conspiratorial minds will come in, and of course this is where it did come out saying, what are they covering up? And I'm almost of this opinion here, where you have a whole country that's been whipped up first by COVID, and then next by the Ukraine war. And, you know, it seems like these tragedies or these emergency situations just don't stop. It's been ever since I was a kid, it's been always in crisis. There's always a war here. There's always this ideological battleground that needs to happen, or else we're going to die, or people are going to die. And when you always keep everyone's tensions up here when normal is here, and you ride this for years and years and years, you end up with pure widespread just lunacy. And I think that's where we're at as a nation now. Why else would they withhold information like that when they know it's on the front page of every news outlet, or that's every cover story for three, four days in a row? Is, are these people going to survive? What are the efforts? What have we been hearing? Have we been hearing knocking? That was all farce. It was all not true, and turns out that they knew more than likely days in advance that these people were dead. And as tragic as it is, they made it worse, which is the worst part. So you send your hat out to them as an adventurous group. You wish that it went better, but you also wish that the media didn't make it what it was. That's what I really wish of that whole situation. It's really sad to look back on it. That's how we're going to think about it, rather than people that were trying to take a chance. And I hope people do make that chance again, maybe a little bit more intelligently. So next we'll go on to, this is going to be probably one of the most, if not the most controversial part of this whole show, but it's something I really wanted to bring up and see if it brings up some conversation with you guys in the audience and just see what you guys feel about this. So there... If you paid attention to media, if you're old enough, or if you have any pulse on what's been going on over the past 3 years, I guess ever since 2020 and COVID, the dramatic shift in economic decision-making in regards to COVID, especially in the medical industry, of course, because it's a medical problem, businesses, I'll bring up businesses that it shouldn't have affected, but businesses like Home Depot, businesses like Staples or like Walmart that built up their business on the sale of stuff like masks, disinfectant, on hand sanitizer, alcohol, stuff like this. And it's really, really affecting the economy now. So just now that it's been, I think, probably over a year since widespread COVID stuff has been out of the mainstream media, you know, you get your every now and then you'll get your articles and reports about how it's coming back up or this, that. But everybody's focused on Putin at this point, and it's fair to say. I think that he stole the show here. That's going to have to stop before we have another panic that's probably brought on by God only knows at this point. But what's interesting to look back on is companies like this. So in press, I believe that an article got released, and I will publish it out, or I'll put it up here, at least give a link to the fact that a company like Walgreens has had to do massive layoffs and store closings even just to quell the oversaturated market that they set up, or at least they believed was set up for all this COVID projections going out, that just got shattered. So no more shots, no more at-home testing kits, no more masks, no more of the all the supplies that you had to do to sanitize your house and your body. They oversold their metrics so much that it ended up hitting with layoffs, ended up hitting with retractions of even some investments on property. You can imagine that it's really affecting a lot of places. And my thought was, and I want to hear what everyone has to think on this, of course. I can only imagine that it's affecting hospitals majorly, because that was such a money suck. How much money they were earning if they were doing certain treatments for COVID, or doing the proper treatment, or classifying these people as being a COVID patient, or maybe they died, or what have you. And the amount of money that's lost, you have to think, is a massive, massive for these businesses that are basically, obviously in America, hospitals and doctors are all set up for profit. You can't blame them to do the thing that's going to earn them the most money. But the way that our economy nowadays is set up is that you're broadcasting your whole business out for the next 5, 10, 15 years even. Like Amazon had a big issue now. So what you noticed is ever since Jeff Bezos stepped away, the stock of Amazon's been a lot more in the vicinity of where it started from him leaving, rather than taking that huge upward trajectory that it seemed to keep going on. And a lot of what that's been is realizing that Amazon may have hit their limit of how much they can fulfill. Although they're fulfilling every aspect of the market, they've taken all of that business already. Now it's everyone's either using Amazon to sell their products, or they're working around them and it has nothing to do with Amazon, and Amazon's not going to dive into that business anyway. This is what's happening, I believe, to a lot of our big businesses like a Walgreens, but also probably to the next level down, which is who they're supplying. Something like a hospital, something like your everyday doctor that might even be hit because they had so much invested in COVID testing, in this metrics that were going back to the government that I'm sure they were getting kickbacks for. This is the stuff that could really put the medical industry into a rough, rough spot, maybe in the upcoming few years with this retraction from COVID. So we will really see. I think it's going to be something to pay attention to. And it's definitely something that I'm going to be looking out for as my future wife is going into the healthcare profession. It is something that we are very, very cognizant of. And definitely something I think for all of you to be on the lookout for as well. So before I get into our last topic here of the day, I did want to do a quick shout out to, of course, Andrew and a little bit of the work that we are doing behind the scenes here. So I know I've mentioned it in a couple previous episodes, but I'd love for you guys to go check out our shop. Go check this stuff out. We got We the Patriots here. And I want you to just go dive in, take a look at some of the stuff that we got. We got our store now live, and we got a little bit of just print stuff, stuff that you can get on shirts, stuff you can get on hoodies, but stuff that you could also let us know if you need a little bit of customization, or if you're looking for a different type of product. This is the type of stuff we're looking to fulfill. We want to put out some of the minds like Kevin, who's done a lot of our artwork, and want to connect them with you people and get the, really what it is the core beliefs of this show and what we believe to be the nation out back to the people. What it's really about is you see that name, you see that WTP, or you see that We the Patriots on the back, and somebody asks you on the street, what is it? Or what is that? It looks like a decent image, or it looks like I've seen that before. Where's it from? And you say, hey, man, it's just this podcast I listen to and decent stuff, bought a shirt. You know, it's that little stuff that goes a long way to somebody even just looking up our show, wanting to figure out more. The grassroots stuff is what we're going to need a lot of, with the fact that we have mainstream platforms pressing us down before we can even gain traction. As I'm sure as you could see, numbers were going way up and then steadied real low. We had a lot of outreach before we got struck by YouTube the first time, and it's been an uphill battle since then. Your guys' support outside of everything YouTube or Apple is what drives the business and drives us to keep doing more, because we know it's affecting you. And we want to be corrected. We want people to come on that are not of our viewpoint or want to expose us to something that is completely out of our mindset. The only way to do that is get that word out. You know, I have now a backlog of people looking to get on the show only recently from being just put on a few different platforms. And it's nice to have people that want to talk to us, but now we want to engage with you guys. What kind of content is really driving you to want to listen to us or want to listen to any podcaster? What kind of podcaster is going to pull you into us? That's what a lot of what our extra time is spent doing, and we want to involve you in the process. What a lot of that involves too is you become a member and you can get access to these Friday hangout sessions that we're going to start doing, where we're just going to hang out for an hour or two and just talk the talk. Anybody who has an idea or wants to shoot it, or maybe needs help with a certain situation in life, isn't sure what's going on in the moment, wants a little bit of exposure to a certain idea, anything that you guys might want, Andrew and I are just going to be there, and we'd love for you guys to join in, get in on the conversation, and get in on some of the output of our show, and also just the rest of our media that we look to be putting out in the future, going ahead and really making a difference here in the community. So I just appreciate you guys, and yeah, take a look at the stuff, see if it's something that you guys really enjoy or would want to take advantage of, and yeah, be my guest. Go hit us up. Give us a little bit of your mind, 2 cents, what you're thinking. And even if you wanted to come on the show, it's a great message to receive. So without further ado, let's hit on to our last shot. Last little topic that I had here was simple yet more complex every single year, it seems. And all I wanted to say was, especially since I missed the episode, happy 4th of July to all of you. Doesn't matter if you're from America, does not matter if you are from even Great Britain, the place we left, does not matter if you're from South America, if you're from Europe, if you're from Asia, if you're from the Middle East, if you're from Africa, if you're from Oceania, Australia, if you're from Antarctica living down, I'm following a guy from there now, Instagram, everybody happy 4th. And the reason that I say that, happy 4th to everybody, is that I do believe that the 4th of July, or the embodiment of the idea, because a lot of us know that I believe it's supposed to be July 2nd and it didn't get ratified until the 4th. Either way, 4th of July represents the idea of the freedom of the people. And that idea is a really hard one to grasp, I believe, in today's society. And I think it's one to be fought for. Freedom is not a right, it must be earned. We make it a right in our country to our citizens, but in the laws of nature, it's not a right to be free. It's actually, time and time again, it gets proven that slavery is the cycle to which people will first mechanize labor. They are first going to purchase and sell the labor itself, which is the human being doing the work, right? That, at its core value, is the opposite of how we believe. And even though there were slaves as this 4th of July moment originally happened, the idea was so written into especially our documents like the Federalist Papers. There was so many different people that opposed it in the beginning, and goes to show that I believe that our country was set up to have the freest people. Now, it takes us to represent that freedom properly, and that's what a lot of what We the Patriots, what I was just talking about, ties into, is being that group and being that community for each other and wanting the best. And July 4th is just one of those opportunities, just like a Christmas, just like an Easter, a time of coming together. A 4th of July is as well. It's why it's a federal holiday, in my opinion. So I recommend for all of you here, now, this is where I can't believe this is controversial, but it is. There's a movie out now, and it goes by the name of Sound of Freedom. This is one of the most just gut-wrenching feelings when you watch this type of movie that I've seen in a long time. I think it was, you know, the first time I might have seen American Sniper that I really got riveted by a movie, and this was another instance. It hit me right in the stomach. It felt like a sucker punch, and it embodied the time. It really did fit into that July 4th feeling of America, and the fact that we need to stand up eventually for something. You got to draw the line somewhere. You can't just keep taking what they say is right. You can't just keep accepting it over and over and over again and saying that whatever the higher power above me, whatever they say, although I may not like it, I'm not going to act any differently. At some point, you need to put your foot to the ground, put the rubber to the road, and make something happen. And this movie really, really struck a chord with me. I think it struck a chord with everybody in the theater when I went and watched it. I thought it was well-liked. It was well-received by everybody there. And although you might hear things like it was a controversial show or it didn't fit into what mainstream entertainment should be, I think that it is a must-watch. I think that if you are an American, or especially if you have kids and you want to know what the reality of the boots on the ground type of situation is, go watch it. It's not the type of movie you're going to go and have feel-good type of feeling about necessarily. It's the type of movie that just, like I said, hits you right in the stomach. So be ready for it. Have a happy 4th. I really enjoyed this time with you guys, and I really hope to get on with you guys again soon. Till then, peace out. Say, damn, I wish I were the fucking state. I wanna be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream, and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'ma keep dreaming.